Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, a La Nina weather pattern is keeping it warm and dry this fall in many areas. Cody Creech is a University of Nebraska Extension dryland cropping specialist, and he says the warm weather is not conducive for winter wheat, which is bred for a cold, dormant period.
What we really like to see is we like to see that wheat crop get shut off and go dormant for the winter. You know, when it shuts down, it's going to stop using moisture. These periods warm enough that the wheat could potentially keep growing. While that is good for that wheat that might have been planted late, that wheat that's already up and going, there's really no benefit.
Creech says there also could be some ramifications in terms of disease issues.
We like that cold weather to kill those wheat curl mite and other mites that are vectors for disease. You know, as long as we stay warm, that kind of opens the door for disease and issues to persist longer than we'd like.
For winter wheat, the best forecast would be to have the cold temperatures move in and stay to shut the plant and possible disease threats down. The Soybean Checkoff plans to fund pre-engineering and design work to enhance and maintain Lockadam No. 25 on the Upper Mississippi River. The United Soybean Board calls the facility a U.S. infrastructure asset critical for efficient barge traffic. The move is an effort to ensure continued and reliable delivery of U.S. soybean exports to customers around the world. USB farmer leader Megan Kaiser of Missouri says, quote, "It's vital that our supply chain remains strong and reliable so we can continue to market our products," end quote. If approved for federal funding, the project would be the first under the Navigation and Ecosystem Sustainability Program, a long-term program authorized by Congress to improve and restore the Upper Mississippi River system. The primary opportunities of improvement include reducing commercial traffic delays while restoring, protecting, and enhancing the environment. Lockadam No. 25 is one of seven existing locks specified by the Navigation and Ecosystem Sustainability Program for improvements. Well, the University of Illinois weed scientists there have confirmed resistance to the herbicide dicamba in a Champaign County, Illinois water hemp population. In the study, dicamba controlled 65% of the water hemp in the field when applied at the labeled rate. And in the greenhouse, plants showed a 5 to 10-fold reduction in dicamba efficacy compared with sensitive plants. It's not a huge level of resistance, but the population had never been sprayed with dicamba or its relative 2,4-D, to which it is also resistant. The team tested dicamba resistance in the same field back in 2014 and 2015, showing 80% efficacy. Dicamba resistance was recently documented in a Tennessee water hemp population and in a Tennessee population of Palmer amaranth as well. Dicamba has been used in Illinois for at least 50 years, but with more acreage being planted in dicamba-tolerant soybeans, use of the chemical is on the rise, and with increasing selective pressure, dicamba resistance could spread quickly. So that is something to watch very, very closely on the agronomy side. Well, agriculture faces a critical month of decisions on Capitol Hill as lawmakers struggle over the next few weeks to keep the government open, able to borrow, and decide key pieces of the president's agenda. The first job will be keeping the government open, with short-term funding expiring on Friday. Now, American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall had this to say.
A government shutdown never helps anyone. It frustrates everyone. And we would hope that through coming together from both sides of the aisles, they can find a way around that.
Likely in another stopgap funding bill that extends old funding levels into the new year, short of unlikely completion of new spending bills. Also likely to be extended again in stopgap funding, livestock mandatory reporting, though Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley wants it done separately to allow his and Nebraska's Deb Fisher's cattle market reforms.
The livestock mandatory reporting legislation, when that bill comes up late this year or next year for reauthorization, my and Fisher's bill must be right along with that, and it's very appropriate that it would, because it's just kind of an extension of the transparency we need for the cattle feeders to know that they're getting a fair price.
And then there's the looming huge fight over the president's $2 trillion social spending and climate agenda package, strongly opposed by Republicans and Farm Bureau for its cost and taxes. Farmers so far have escaped elimination of the coveted stepped-up basis tax break, though other new taxes in the bill could hit farm and other businesses. House Democrats passed their version with no GOP votes, but the massive bill faces an uncertain fate in the Senate, where moderate Democrats Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema hold votes to change, delay, or even kill it. And also, the nation's quarter soybean harvest wrapped up last week, and winter wheat conditions held steady, according to USDA. as they reported that in Monday's final weekly crop progress report of 2021. The first weekly report for 2022, that's going to be released on Monday, April 4th, 2022. Winter wheat planting wrapped up last week. 92% of the crop had emerged as of Sunday. That's equal to last year and 1 percentage point ahead of the five-year average of 91%. Winter wheat condition was unchanged from the previous week at 44%, good to excellent. Sorghum harvested 97%. That was 1 percentage point ahead of average. And cotton harvested was 85%, which is 6 percentage points ahead of average. Well, there's good news for the U.S. potato industry after a plan has been signed to move forward with allowing American producers to export fresh potatoes to all of Mexico. National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles says this comes just months after the Mexican Supreme Court ruled in favor of U.S. potatoes beyond the first 16 miles of the border.
Given the moves that the Mexican government has made recently to post the requirement sheet, to sign the operational work plan, and to kind of get down to the final details, we're hopeful that that process is going to move forward kind of regardless of what happens in the courts.
Coral says it should be a smooth transition.
It is very, very similar to what exporters were facing previously. There really has not been, there's been a few kind of minor tweaks, but I think people are going to be very familiar with the process.
As to when potatoes will begin to move south, Coral says,
long story short, I mean, we're very hopeful that we're going to be measuring this in a very few months to hopefully weeks before we can start looking at the resumption of some exports. So I'd say cautiously optimistic at this point.
Coral says they're cautiously optimistic and appreciate all the work by the USDA and U.S. Trade Representative to make this possible. And lastly, here on American Ag Today, the Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is seeking public comments on proposed amendments to its import regulations for horses. The proposed amendments would better align regulations with international standards, according to USDA. The proposal also allows both APHIS and the equine industry more flexibility for permitted imports while continuing to mitigate the risk of bringing contagious equine metritis, or CEM, into the United States. CEM is a venereal disease that only affects horses and can have a significant impact on reproduction. The United States is considered CEM-free, and therefore horses imported into the United States must meet certain import criteria or undergo CEM quarantine procedures at an approved facility to demonstrate that CEM is not present. The proposed regulations also provide APHIS with more regulatory authority to enforce standards for transporting horses. The proposal was posted in the Federal Register last Friday with the comment period opening on Monday of this week. That's going to do it for American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.